Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio. It is Monday, episode number 66. We apologize for Friday, technical difficulties, some things are out of our controls. But I'm your host, Brandon Reif. Jonathan Burson joined us once again. JB, how are we?
Good evening, Crossroads. Good evening, Brandon Reif. How are we doing?
We are good. We are good. Had a good weekend. I actually got to see you outside of here for the first time in a while. So it was good. It was good. So it was a lot of fun. A lot to get to tonight on tonight's show. A lot I got on the plate. Nick was going to join us this evening. He still may possibly, he had a few, things pop up. We did release his latest bracketology bracket, so we'll have that up there, but plenty to talk about with college basketball, the NBA, the NFL, the NFL Combine, and then some quick hitters for the evening. So, first off, I want to do a little pop culture / entertainment to start off. Today, 25-year anniversary, John, of John Candy passing. 25 years ago, one of the best comedians, one of the best actors. I love all his movies. If you don't like John Candy, then you're not human, all right? John Candy had a lot of great movies. Uncle Buck, Great Outdoors, Armed and Dangerous. There's a lot of great 80s movies. We might have a younger crowd, but I know we got some older OGs out there. But John Candy.
I'm surprised you know about John Candy's movies. You must have
I used to watch them all the time. My parents loved them. My grandparents loved them. We watched them all the time. I like all of them. I've seen them.
My experience with John Candy obviously predates yours just a little bit. He was on a Canadian skit comedy crew, SCTV, back in the day. It's kind of comparable to Saturday Night Live. He got picked up by, you know what I'm saying, TV stations here in America, and that's kind of how he transitioned his fame over here. SCTV has also got alumni like, you caught me with my pants down, but there's a lot of guys. Eugene Levy's one of them.
Yeah.
Part of the SCTV. John Candy, the first movie I actually saw him in, Brandon, was in Stripes, and I know that's a Bill Murray led movie, but he played Ox in Stripes, and I probably wasn't supposed to be watching it. the mud wrestling scene, you know what I'm saying, when he pulls off the lady's tops, you know what I mean?
Yep.
I was a little kid then, but like that he was real memorable. And then he had nothing but continued success after that. Like you said, kind of alluded to Uncle Buck and The Great Outdoors and so on and so forth.
Yeah, a lot of great movies. It's hard to believe I saw it today. If you get a chance on Twitter, Ryan Reynolds put out a nice little thing on his Twitter about John Candy, tagged his son in it, and then it's like a 2-minute video montage of some of John Candy's greatest moments. So 25 years, hard to believe. Just imagine what he would have done still. You know, I think about him, what he could have continued to do just as much as Chris Farley, you know, two icons that left definitely way too quick. Also, John, unfortunately, speaking of icons left too quick, we got the song playing.
90210,
the 90s. Luke Perry had that stroke, passed away today. Hit a lot of people pretty hard from what I've seen on Twitter and on Facebook.
Yeah. I can't necessarily tell you I was a big fan of 90210. But I do remember Luke Perry as a great actor. He had some other successes. He had some other, maybe not blockbuster movies, but I know he actually did a season of Oz. I don't know if you remember with the HBO series, TV series Oz, where he was in prison. I think he played like a priest. No, I'm sorry, not a preacher. They got caught for something. And he got, you know, been put in Oz, and you know, entertainment ensued after that. But yeah, Luke Perry, RIP. He's an icon, definitely a '90s icon for sure.
Yeah, it's hard to believe. You know, they were just going to do a reboot for the 90210 series, and he was going to be. Well, he didn't get the green light, but a couple years ago, he said if they did one, he would do it. Another one got lost too soon. So thoughts and prayers, Luke Perry, and then also John Candy's family. Yeah, tough times. So I want to go ahead and get the entertainment section out of the way. So we got that out. Now we'll actually hit into some big stuff. So first off, I want to start with the NFL Combine. The NFL and the NFL Combine. Combine was this week here in Indianapolis. For those of you who don't know what the Combine is, 300 athletes of all positions are invited to participate in drills and psychological testing and medical evaluations to get them ready for the NFL draft and see when they're going to be drafted. Also, it's a time for owners and GMs to meet with other owners and GMs, and chaos can ensue. Trades and free agencies can happen. Cuts are made during this time. Really, Devin Bush from Michigan ran a 4.44 40-yard dash, which was the fastest until today, I've seen. I did not get the guy's name that ran today. I was looking for it, could not find it. But Devin Bush impressed people. Kyler Murray, they finally got the official measurements for his height. I guess 5'11 makes it look a lot better than 5'10.
Right. Right, he's like, I think he ended up like 5'10 and 3/8 or something crazy like that. I'm glad it kind of got out. That, you know, they kind of got that out the way, but it kind of makes me question the Arizona Cardinals as an organization. Like, they're hitting the reset button again.
Yeah,
as they kind of have said, they're going to draft him, and subsequently Josh Rosen has. I guess he took all his Arizona Cardinals stuff down off his Instagram or whatever, and he's expected to go from anywhere from the Giants or the Redskins via trade.
Huh.
So
times have changed.
Times have changed where that's just bug, man. Like they're ready to hit the reset button already, and like usually football teams. You know, I mean, standard aren't like that. I mean, I feel like, Brandon, if this was the '80s or even the '90s, they'd say, hell, if Kyler Murray is the number one overall guy, is he that special? I mean, I don't know. I really don't. But if he is, have them both. Grab them both.
Right.
But I would think Arizona had other holes to fill besides, you know what I mean, especially after they did a whole year with Josh Rosen. But evidently, they weren't in love with Josh.
Yeah, absolutely not. I was put on record that the I'm losing his name right now, the Cardinals coach. Used to be Texas Tech.
He said he'd draft him. He'd love to have a talent like him and draft him, you know what I mean? And now he's got his wish.
Yeah, absolutely.
What does that do for the team, though? That's what I look at. What does that do for the rest of the team? The other team, I didn't break down the numbers. I'm sorry, I didn't bring those numbers for me because who cares about the Arizona Cardinals, right? When you're a Colts
right.
fan. But all jokes aside, but like, what does that do for the team? Larry Fitzgerald, it's kind of like another lost year for him. And I'm not just, I mean, he's just the most high profile Cardinal that we know of. I'm talking about the other guys on that team who probably need help. They could use Joey Bosa on the defensive line.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They could probably use another. I mean, if this was another year, they could use a wide out. They could use a tight end. I'm not saying that if there was a wide out tight end, you would take number one overall in this particular draft, but it's just not good team building.
Yeah, totally agree upon that. Let's see. Some of the other news that's came out, it was announced on Friday. I think it was Friday. Jason Witten coming out of retirement, one-year deal with the Cowboys. $3.1 million he's going to make. Jerry was able to talk him back into it, said, hey, we got a good quarterback. We've got a hell of an offensive line. We've got a good defense. Jason, we just need you.
Yeah, I don't think the expectations for him coming in and getting like 27 catches for the year, I don't think that's what – I know the contract is like built in with bonuses if he hits certain, you know, earmarks or whatever, but being a year away from the game, yeah, he's kind of let his body heal up, right, and you know, got a chance to be in the booth or whatever. I didn't think he was that great. I didn't think he was terrible either. But you know, there was of course a pile on from the media about having a guy that was maybe unqualified to be a color on color commentary. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of came out of left field, didn't it? Jason Witten retiring, and I wish. I mean, I'm not necessarily a Dallas Cowboy fan. Obviously, I used to love the '90s Cowboys, but I'm not. I mean, I'm rooting for him. I'm rooting for him to, you know, to have a good season and not get hurt.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm like just glad to see him back. It opens up a Monday Night Football spot, so it'll be interesting to see what ESPN does on who they bring in. I know locally here.
Pay him the money.
Does Peyton want to do it?
Peyton do it if you give him $10 million.
Pat McAfee wants to do it. He's putting it all over Twitter. McAfee wants back working with ESPN.
But isn't McAfee already signed? Like, dude, what do you want to do? Do you want to do this wrestling thing? Or do you want to do the football thing?
Why not do it all?
Right.
McAfee runs the world. No, I would really like to see Peyton in it. I think it'd be really, really good to have him join those
from
ranks.
From entertainment value, you're right. But I think Peyton Manning has bigger fish to fry when it comes to getting back into the NFL. I think he really wants to be an owner or a park owner or something like that.
Right. Yeah. Speaking of quarterbacks, the Jaguars are now the front runners to sign Nick Foles. The Eagles are going to cut him. Blake Bortles will be cut as well. So that was late news last night that broke on Sunday evening. Some of your thoughts?
Yeah, here's the thing. Coaches and trainers and, you know, all those football people know better than I do. But this will at least galvanize the fan base down there. You're getting a magical quarterback. And we talked about this before. We think the magic he's had in like the last two seasons was based upon him being a Philadelphia Eagle, not necessarily now a Jacksonville Jaguar. But he wanted to be a starter. I mean, I get it. He didn't want to play behind Carson Wentz and go through that whole quarterback controversy thing. And Jacksonville's going to have to cut. Brandon, I think they're going to have to cut more than Blake Bortles, but so like I said, Jacksonville should be happy that they still have a top five defense, right?
Yeah.
Still young pieces on defense, and now they have a comparable a level up quarterback for sure. We know Nick Foles, even though we might have questions from when all the other stops that he's had, that he's better than Blake Bortles. But here's the thing, Brandon, they still got to draft a quarterback at some point because Nick Foles is on the wrong side of I can't remember how old he is, but he's on the wrong side of 30.
Right.
So this would be this is a short term fix for them.
Yeah, totally agree. Former Colt Dwayne Allen, tight end of the New England Patriots, won a Super Bowl title this year with them. Was used seldom, more of a blocking tight end this year. Was cut by the Patriots. Pro Football Talk is reporting that he has four teams lined up with meetings this week, so it will be interesting to see where Dwayne Allen, former Colt, goes. As we said plenty of times last season, the Colts do have the most money this free agency to spend on talent. It's very foretelling, John, with all these defensive guys getting franchised, just kind of what talent's out there. If you're the Indianapolis Colts, there's two guys I think you got to look at if you want to improve that defense. Number one, the Ravens are not franchising C.J. Mosley. So there's a linebacker right there you can bring in with a good pass rush. Bringing him in. Also, safety, big hitting safety reminds me of Bob Sanders, but less injuries. Landon Collins of the Giants. Those are two big players right there. Justin Houston of the Chiefs as well. Those three guys – Chris Ballard, if he's not on the top of his list, needs to put him up there to go after.
Those names are intriguing. I think Ballard looks at – this is also a heavy draft, though, for defensive backs and defensive linemen. So
yep.
I think he might actually look at that and maybe look at what the wideout free agency market looks like. this year.
He said he loves his draft picks.
So, nobody wants anybody else's old beat up players.
Yep. Totally agree. Speaking of beat up players, right now it looks like the Jets are the front runners to sign Le'Veon Bell this offseason. We've kind of talked about the Jets being one of the few teams that would make the push towards them. It'd be interesting because you're not going for a championship at that point. It's just the money.
Yeah, but I'd rather for him go to the Jets than the Texans. He'd be a good fit for the Texans as well, which I know they had shown interest, but I don't think they're ready to blow a whole lot of money on Le'Veon Bell with the Jets. Seemingly are working with still got a quarterback working on a rookie contract, and the Jets are trying to get back into the mix of importance. You know what I mean? Of like relevant, rather. What should I say? So, bringing Le'Veon Bell in, and you know, building upon what they had last year with their quarterback, I think kind of makes it. I'm not gonna say it's gonna make a good fit, especially if things go sour on the field. But it's something that, like I said, it'll kind of galvanize their fan base to where people be talking about, oh man, the Jets are back. But you know, Jets, there's a lot of hype for Jets fans. That's the truth.
Yep, absolutely. Another thing, I actually saw your tweet this weekend about it, and I was going to bring it up to you. Actually, you tweeted to me. John Gruden is very interested. I know we just got done talking about Kyler Murray, but Peter King has reported that John Gruden is very interested and could possibly trade up to get Kyler Murray from the number 4 position.
Wow. Well, there's a lot of Raiders rumors. They got him going after Brown, which I can't see. I can't see him going, especially with his history of not necessarily dealing with diva players. Period. Whether Deshaun debacle. Does he not believe in the quarterback that they have right now to go get Kyler Murray?
I don't know. What's that say about Derek Carr too?
You could still probably get so like you. Like, I don't think they trade him on day one, but you still probably get a haul for Derek Carr. It's not like he's terrible.
Right. He needs a line to block for him, too. So I think it's worth noting for the Colts, even. Mike Chappell tweeted it today, and quote, as NFL's free agent market starts to take shape, Colts fans need to remember this from Chris Ballard. Here was the quote. We put a value on the player. When it gets out of our reach, we are comfortable enough to sleep at night, saying that we are going to find an answer. So they've got a lot. Bauer's got a lot of money to play with. I actually saw him twice this weekend. Very cordial, nice gentleman throughout Indianapolis. So I got to park his vehicle too. So that was very nice. That was fun. So Bauer, and it was interesting who he was meeting with. He was meeting with some other NFL executives. Where I saw him at. So maybe there could be a trade at some point. It's very interesting. No, not Pittsburgh. Not Pittsburgh. So speaking of Pittsburgh, the news came out this weekend. Last week, I should say, end of last week, with the Antonio Brown situation. The Steelers and Brown have both agreed that it's time to move on. Steelers will be trading him. Looks like the Redskins, Raiders, and Titans right now are the top three picks, or top three teams that are looking to get him. Antonio Brown is supposed to be getting a $5 million roster bonus on March 17th if he is not traded. The latest report today is that Brown, there's four teams that are with significant offers, and he could be traded by the end of the week. With that being said, for those of you who have not listened and haven't heard, he was on a episode of HBO Sports, The Shop, which features LeBron James and a lot of actors and sports athletes. And he was on that show. He kind of talked about the Ben situation, about Tomlin. He also did an hour-long interview with ESPN, Jeff Darlington, that I watched today. I watched that full hour. And Brown really didn't hold back, but I do have a two-and-a-half-minute sound clip here I'm going to play for everybody, just kind of hearing A, B side of it, John, and then we will – then I want to have your take on the situation. Okay?
Gotcha.
Here's a soundbite.
Yeah, once the last game came, buddy, to go home with the confusion, too much confusion, I'm like, damn, this is where they really at. Because now they're showing me the reality. You know, oh, yeah, the dude called me out. We lose the game. He's like, damn, AD should have ran the better route.
Why would Ben do that?
That's the type of guy he is. He feel like he the owner. Bro, you threw this shit to the D-line, man. How the fuck I'm going to run the better route? You need to give me a better ball. But it's like, in the league, you're going to have a guy from the team who'll be like, well, you can't sell that. I need you to get this out there, like. But it's like, why I got to be at me? At least ask the nigga how he feel first. Right, so if it don't matter how I feel, then fuck it, then. Why now, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, totally different from our sport.
You know what I mean?
If I want it.
So the last week of the season, we going into the final game. We got to win, and we got to hope the Ravens don't win so we could advance to the playoffs. I'm a little banged up, so I meet with Coach Tomlin. I'm telling him, like, hey, man, I'm a little banged up, so I'm going to need a little time to get right. So he like, you banged up, man, just, you know, you can just go home.
Leave practice.
Yeah, like, you ain't even got to be here. So I'm like, damn, that's where we at.
Damn, how are you saying?
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you just hit it. Like, you know what I mean?
He was
so what you think
treatment.
Is like, I'm going to war for these guys, putting my life on the line. It's like, it's an unknown when it comes to me, just like right now, the write-ups. It's like, you know what I mean? They control the narrative, so we ain't standing on, you know what I mean, good foundation. They could just paint you any kind of way. And that's the thing people don't know. It's like, you know, it's a controlled environment to where they could kind of determine if they want to let you
in
that, or they try to create. Once you're doing your own thing, it's like, yo, this guy a distraction. He this type of guy. All I ever been was a guy who came from Central Michigan, sixth round, who worked his ass off. That's all I, you know what I'm saying?
Sixth round.
Yeah.
How about that?
Three contracts later, you know, I'm milking the game.
And now he a distraction. Yeah. All of a sudden, I mean, it's the same that's going with AD right now. I mean, AD's been in the league. The show was your seventh
yeah.
year. 7 years in the league, nobody's ever said anything. No media, not a fan, not a friend, not nobody has ever said anything negative about AD. But you can tell when the narrative change,
yep.
when you don't do what they want you to do.
Yep. All right, so that was a clip from The Shop on HBO Sports. It was interesting as well there, LeBron kind of talking about AD there at the end, once the narrative changes. AD said he does it. He's his own man. He doesn't need the others to represent him. But, John, what was your take on the Antonio Brown thing? Does he have a point there, or is it just a lot of whatever?
Most liars will tell 10% of the truth. In all his interviews that he's conducted, he's telling the public a little bit of the truth. But let's not forget what's on the table. You signed the contract and are under contract for the next 3 years. He had a big blow. Like, I don't know what.
It's not his first blow up. He's done it before.
Would you think? Right. Would you think what quarterback, what in what league, in what time ever has a receiver ever been more important? And I don't. You can figure however way about Big Ben and what he's done in the past and stir that up. Hell, people can Google it. People know it. You know what I'm saying? But in what league, NFL league, has a receiver ever been more important than a quarterback who's been, you know what I mean? It's not.
Right.
It's not. It's not. So he – football guys, man, you know what, Brandon? They watch basketball and see, hey, man, these dudes get to run their own thing. They get to do their own thing. They do. They get to, you know, pout their way out of – Charles Barkley, God, I love him, pout his way out of Philadelphia. LeBron James pouted his way out of Miami. I mean, sorry, pouted his way out of Cleveland the first time, you know, because of whatever. Nope. And again, does he work hard? Yes. Does he work out hard? Yes. Does he produce on the field? Yes. But you will not put your own personal goals. You learned this watching Any Given Sunday, right? You cannot put your personal goals in front of the team or whatever you want to do. And I think Brown wants to be a media star now. I don't know what's going on. Honestly, tongue in cheek, I don't know what's going on with the mustache. I don't. I like, dude, do you want to be a professional wrestler? You know? But I think he wants to be a media star. Like, he was saying things about, I don't need football, you know what I mean? I could retire right now, still be fine, but you're still wanting the Pittsburgh Steelers to trade you. So all that crap you're saying is, like, hypocritical.
And
so,
he also said – the fact he also said that one of his biggest takeaways was the fact that Kevin Colbert, the Steelers GM, said there's 52 kids and one guy. The one guy being Ben. He said, well, that narrative's never changed it. Well, of course the GM's going to have the quarterbacks back, but it was a figure of speech. And I feel Brown took it way too personal, way too serious.
Well, yeah, I think I go the other way. I don't know what the general manager was thinking when he said that. He probably, if he could take it back, he probably would.
Absolutely, and he did a little bit. He said it was a figure of speech.
If Brown's basically going to a team, if he gets traded, he will not be going to a contender. The Green Bay Packers
not at all.
The Green Bay Packers will not deal with that. The Vikings might. New England's not dealing with that. Chris Ballard's not dealing with that. We're trying to get to another level.
Yeah, the Broncos have said no.
Kansas City.
The Cardinals have said no.
Right.
The 49ers have said no.
Right, and that was where they had him initially going. They actually had I could see, but they don't even have enough draft picks to get him. I could see the Rams because they like to deal with reclamation, but he's going to go to a team where basically now you're an entertainer. That's what you want to do. I mean, and I'm not picking on LeBron's show or anything like that, but when you go up and put yourself on that stage. Like now you want to be a sports entertainer, and you know what? He might have a career in WWE afterwards. His NFL is over.
Right. Yeah. So more to come on the Brown situation. He will be traded at some point. And as a Steeler fan, I hate to see him go. He had 9 good years in Pittsburgh, but sometimes business is business. And for the Steelers to get better, we got to put this distraction behind us and move forward.
Yeah.
So hopefully, and you know, even Larry Fitzgerald said it, the grass isn't always greener on the other side. Look at him. He had Kurt Warner and then no quarterback. So watch what you ask for, Brown. It may come true.
Right.
So
be down there playing the Tampa, down there playing the Tampa Bay.
Yeah. Okay. Moving ahead to, let's move to the NBA, the hardwood. Pacers, 41-23. They have a game tomorrow, I believe, against somebody. Just a second. I thought I had it written
tomorrow,
down, but they're 40.
It's a home game tomorrow. It's the last home game before they go on to like an 11-game road trip. Some crazy
yep.
Day.
They play the Chicago Bulls tomorrow night. A very winnable game. 41-23. They're third in the East. They're looking good in the East, honestly. I mean, they're 7.5 back of Milwaukee, but
hold on, Brandon. They look good, but I was not happy with them losing to Orlando. And I know Orlando beat Golden State like the night before, 2 nights before.
Golden State, Orlando's hot.
We've undersold Orlando probably because I have my boy Frank Vogel because they did him dirty down there and down in Orlando a couple 2 years ago. But I'm not. You got to beat the teams. Pacers got to beat the teams that you should just automatically check off. Like you know, what I mean, and Dallas was one of them as well. So, but the good thing about this Pacers is they are resilient and they are deep. And you know what, Brandon, I'm glad what I'm hearing about them extending Bojan. I'm glad that they're actually developing. He doesn't always have a great game every night. I'm talking about TJ Leaf, but they're developing TJ Leaf to be. In case they lose somebody in free agency, like a Thad Young or if Victor Oladipo the 100% coming back, which I don't think he won't be 100% back like in November. It's not. I don't think so. But like, there's other guys that they're putting into a rotation and putting in key spots that ultimately hopefully they like teams like playing here, and that you know saying it'll be kind of like. I don't want to say anybody said Jonathan said the Pacers are going to be the Golden State Warriors, but a homegrown team outside of Kevin Durant, I know, right? But a homegrown team that they built up from ground up, including I don't want to just say TJ Lee. without mentioning Holiday as well, because again, in the limited time that he has been playing, he's shown great flashes of being a contributor. Again, we have to remember. I know that sometimes people get extra hard on Holiday and TJ Lee. And even some of the other young talent that we have. But remember, TJ Leaf is 2 years out of high school. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Holiday's a rookie himself. So I do like the team. And again, like I do nitpick because I'm a fan. You know what I'm saying? But they'll run off another, you know, 4-game win streak, and you know, so we'll kind of forget about them losing to Orlando and Dallas.
Yeah, they've got a home game against Chicago, and then it gets tough. They go to Milwaukee on Thursday night, national television, TNT on Thursday at Milwaukee, which Milwaukee right now is just red hot, and they keep loading up. They just added Pau Gasol this weekend as well after his buyout. So, and then you look at Indiana, John, you get another national televised game on Sunday on ABC. When you go to Philadelphia, all 4 Philly games this year were televised nationally, which I think ESPN and all them, they want that rivalry of Philly and Indy to be a new rivalry, kind of like it was with Miami and Indiana. And I can see it possibly happen. But Indiana getting some love. They have 8 games. 8 games of their final 20-some are on national television. So it's good. I like seeing them on national television. They go to Philly. And then they're home against the Knicks. And then Thursday the 14th is a big game. And I'm going to see if you're available that night. Me and you can get some tickets somewhere and sit up there. We get to see Paul George come back to Indiana once again, if he's healthy.
If he's healthy, right, yeah.
So more offline about that, about me and you going to get some tickets for the game. I'll buy you a ticket.
Right.
I don't care. We'll sit up in the first level of the 200s for it.
There's no quit. They might lose games, but there ain't no quit, and that's what you can appreciate that, especially given the fact that Oladipo's out for the rest of the season, and Sabonis is out for the for the immediate future.
Uh huh. Absolutely. James Harden, points on points on points. That guy was a machine last week. 60 points. He was a machine. Sunday against the Celtics, he was hitting shots with hands in his face. My God, I think there's your MVP right there. Again,
it's going to come down. Honestly, it's going to come down to him and Giannis. I still think, I don't know. It kind of goes back and forth from day to day, especially with Giannis' team keeps on winning, but they're kind of small market, right? And Houston.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing, though, Brandon. Houston beat the Warriors without Harden. So,
yeah.
But he's putting up, magical, like, great numbers. Like, you can't, 30 points, 40 points, 35 points, it may not
necessarily be. Did you see those shots yesterday he was hitting?
Yeah.
My goodness. I mean.
It may not be the most – pretty basketball that everybody, pass the ball to this guy, pass the ball to this guy, get everybody, involved. But they actually kind of shocked me. I thought the Celtics was going to bounce back yesterday, and they didn't bounce back. They came back, but they didn't win the game. And that's ultimately what you're saying, what I mean by bounce back. Yeah, he's definitely back into the conversation for MVP, though, for darn sure.
Absolutely. Speaking of the Celtics, Kyrie Irving. Spotted on camera, arguing with teammates, getting pissed off with the media. He walked by yesterday to the game and said he'll be glad he doesn't have to do this shit. And is walking by the media and stuff. So Kyrie is not happy in Boston. The honeymoon is
all. They were engaged. Yeah, the writing's on the wall. They're gonna limp into the playoffs, maybe around the fifth. I hope they don't fall to the sixth seed, but they're gonna limp into the playoffs around the fifth seed or whatnot. Brandon, I'll be honest with you, they have more problems than Kyrie Irving from what I've watched over the last 3 games.
Aaron Baines?
Oh, my God. I don't know what. He thought he was going to do a step back, fade away. I'm like, dude, that's not in your repertoire. But they have guys who are normally their glue guys taking shots they shouldn't be taking. Horford is an elite level glue guy, right, that they play through. But even he was out there shooting threes, and I know he can hit them, but like, whoa, man,
yeah.
What are we? I don't think that was in the scheme Brad drew up for having Horford. Think that he's now a small forward shooting threes. I think, Brandon, that the two young guys on this team, Brown and Tatum, are still thinking that, like last year, how they stepped up. Like they were asked to step up, and they stepped up. And now we've added two more. We brought in the two guys that they kind of stepped up for, Kyrie Irving and Brandon and Gordon Hayward. And when Gordon Hayward struggles and Kyrie Irving plays hero ball and kind of struggles, then it kind of throws off every. It kind of throws off everybody. The mix is the chemistry is not there. I really think that's what's the case because now everybody, these guys, Brandon, these guys listen to each other. I mean, they listen to Twitter, they listen to social media, they listen to ESPN. Everybody says Tatum. Hell, I call him White Mamba. Like I call him Light Skin Mamba. That's what I call him, right? But
yeah.
people have given him, you know, what I'm saying that he like. You know, not necessarily. I mean, of course, he worked with Kobe O'Brien in the offseason, whatever. But people have given him, and he kind of, and he had got the ring light all last, you know, during the playoffs, seemingly. And people have given him, he's gotten this, like, hey, I'm a star too. Well, you know, again, that throws off everything. All those things, like him thinking he needs this amount of touches, and Brown thinking he needs this touches, and Horford, who's been a four-time, five-time All-Star in the league, thinking he needs touches, and it just kind of just thrown off their chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
I always say teams need to come to a woosah moment, look in the mirror moment, maybe have a closed door players only meeting or whatever. But they're obviously not there because go ahead.
Yeah, I actually talked with some people yesterday while I was at work, and then today I had to go buy lids, and I actually talked with the guy in there because we were talking just the NBA and. I like the one guy in there I like cutting up the NBA with. And, you know, he made a good point that I've said to you plenty of times, and I'm going to bring it up again, is what people aren't, I don't think, looking at with this is the Brad Stevens effect. When is it going to be put more of this stuff on Brad Stevens and not as much Kyrie Irving or Terry Rozier or Jaylen Brown or Horford or Tatum? How long is it going to be until they look and say, hey, Brad, you've got all this talent. You're not making it happen. And me and you talked off camera or off radio on Friday night. I said, I think he goes one more year. And then if it doesn't go well this year and it doesn't go well next year, maybe it's time for Stevens to go. And it's weird like that. I don't think they would fire him. I think he would walk away. That's what they would do.
Right. Well, ownership gave him and Danny Ainge and Ashley Tatum, like saying they gave them the green light. They just those are the players and the administration that they trust. So on that, I mean, if you take that for what it's worth, ownership speaks for everybody when it comes to organizations, right? It would necessarily be. I mean, he'd be unemployed for like 2 seconds or 2 minutes if he walked away. Either another NBA team would pick him up, or another college team, Hoosiers would pick him up.
Exactly.
I think before that happens, there's going to be a tremendous amount of player movement in the off season, and I know we saw a tremendous amount of player movement during the trade deadline, but that I think it's going to be even significantly more. I really do.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking ahead at the race for the eighth seed right now. In the East, you've got the Nets at 7, the Magic at 8, the Orlando Charlotte Hornets at 9, and Miami Heat at 10. Of those four teams, which two do you see getting in the East?
Well, definitely ain't Pat Riley's Miami Heat.
Ooh, that's the one I would think we would get in.
No, Pat's been making interview circles as well, but because the Lakers are a mess, the Celtics are a mess, and Golden State, you know, just keeps on winning or whatever, he's kind of like his interviews and like just come underneath the radar. Pat Riley's got one. He's been saying he's got one more. He's got a dream, and I don't know who's on his team, right? And not to rhyme, but he said he's had a dream of what he wants to put together, like one more. Run for it, and I trust him more than any outside of Danny Ainge. I trust Pat Riley as a team builder more so than any other guy in the business currently. And I think if he can convince two guys to come over, then the other dominoes fall, and Miami will be back in the fold, but not this year. And as, like I said, he's not interested in, you know, Pat Riley's never been a guy to try to draft talent from the college ranks or from Europe. So he's talking about pulling the Kevin Durant or DeMarcus Cousins, Kemba Walker. I don't know. It's Pat Riley's dream, not mine. You know what I'm saying? But he said he's got one more bullet in the chamber, right? But as far as like who makes the playoffs, I think, you know, there's the drought in Brooklyn. Well, definitely, they still be a lock at seven. And then I don't think Michael Jordan really cares if the Charlotte Hornets make the playoffs or not. So,
okay. Well, I'm a feel good story for D Wade. I want D Wade to go out in the playoffs. So, we had vintage D Wade this past week. Yeah, it was an ugly ass shot, game winner over Golden State. But it was fun to see him with the young kid haircut running around, showing that even at his age. The kid, he's still a kid at heart, running around after a shot like that, and I liked it. To me, it was a feel-good story. So
yeah,
I've always been a D Wade fan. I know you haven't been, but
oh no, I was waiting for LeBron to say something crazy like Iguodala said about Steph Curry being the number 2 point guard ever. I was waiting for LeBron to say, well, you know, D Wade is the number 2 shooting guard ever, and then the world will explode if he says that.
Well, you know, LeBron said number 2 because he's number 1, right? That's probably
I think LeBron's taking a small 4. I would put him at the 4 position.
Yeah.
He won't say D Wade's number 2. He'll say D Wade is maybe number 3, and it's still the world will explode if he says D Wade's number 3.
Right. Okay. Looking at the West. Looking at the West, we have the Clippers at 7, Spurs in the 8, Kings at the 9, Lakers in 10th, and the T-Wolves in 11th. 5 teams, 2 get in. What do you got?
Lakers are a mess. The T-Wolves are behind the 8 ball. They got down too many games, and Wiggins is not interested in pushing himself. Andrew Wiggins is not interested in pushing himself to be great. He's fine with just being.
But he can't. He's got Jimmy Butler in front of him. Wait, no, he didn't. He traded Jimmy Butler. My bad. Never mind.
So I think the Spurs kind of this, and they probably should. I mean, Popovich don't believe in tanking. He doesn't, but he probably should. And I don't either. But he probably should because Tim Duncan ain't walking through that door. Tony Parker ain't walking through that door. And he's kind of like, if it wasn't for all these other stories flying around with LeBron and Curry and Golden State Warriors, his would be the story. Like, he's alienating players left and right. He said we suck as an organization or as a team so many times this year that I think that's why the Paul Gasol buyout kind of finally went through. So
yeah.
I think the Spurs making today's spot, this would be a humbling experience. Unfortunately for LeBron James, it'll also be a humble experience for Magic Johnson, who put that hodgepodge team together. Like I said at the beginning of the season, after they signed LeBron, Magic did fumble Paul George. Like for all that tampering that you did, you fumbled the Paul George. You're supposed to deliver Paul George and LeBron James, and I think it would be definitely a different narrative that we would have had today, right?
Uh-huh.
But those guys, we're in a different league right now. We just are. Guys get emotionally, however you want to put it, they took it the wrong way. And when, you know, their names got involved in that Anthony Davis trade, they kind of quit. Again, we talked about 3 weeks ago. They quit on the team. And then we always see LeBron James does look like a 25-year-old man, right? But he's not 25. He's 34. He can't. When's the last time you seen him do a rundown block to the backboard?
Been a while.
You know? It's been a while. So defensively, there's things that he can't do anymore. Or the mind might be willing, but the body can't. You know what I'm saying? Even though he can, you know, score with the best of them, but we're in a scorer's league now. Like, you know, the freedom movement and all that stuff. What's the other character that you don't like from Oklahoma down in Atlanta? He had a 49-point game.
Trae Young.
Yeah, Trae Young, we're in an offensively minded league right now, where I think I can go out there and get 10 points. I think. But 10 points in 5 games. but but uh, I, Rosters, man, like I think it'd be a humble experience for the Lakers not to be in. Of course, the fan base there would be still comparing, to, you know what I'm saying, this team to the past, and we're trying to figure out what's went wrong. But it would totally be on Magic Johnson, not LeBron, this summer
James,
and going
LeBron
forward to put a better team together.
Yeah, LeBron James. I'm glad you segue to it because we are at the dysfunctional Los Angeles Lakers, which we knew ahead of time, beginning of the season, before the season started with this roster, it was going to be dysfunctional. So what happened was they started out with some wins. The whole media, not us, but the whole media jumped ship saying LeBron, them are great. I remember seeing national televised people saying they could win the West or be the 2 seed in
the
West.
No.
Remember that?
The best they could have been was what they were at before Lonzo
Ball,
who arguably they won their better perimeter defenders. Okay, what you think about him as far as his jump shot is concerned, he does cover guys pretty well at his position, and we all know he can pass, and all we know he can rebound. But he's out. LeBron went out for 18 games, and the team went on a slide. So that's kind of just what happened with the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's necessarily 85%, 90%, right? 90% of the brunt is on LeBron because he's a mouthpiece and he runs his mouth to the media and whatnot. But and he came with the crazy, it's almost like what Paul George said, playoff P. And LeBron said,
boy.
I'm going into playoff mode. He's now going into playoff mode. Well, that's all fine and dandy, LeBron, but you don't have Chris Bosh back there and Dwayne Wade to help you, you know what I mean, with your playoff mode. You just don't. Or the complimentary part. We talked about it. Where's that? Like, in any and all LeBron James winning teams, there's always guys that come off the bench that knew their role and when passed the ball would be ready to shoot.
James Jones. Ray Allen.
James Jones. Ray Allen. Damon Jones. Mike Miller. You know what I mean? So, and that's not what he was getting. Josh Hart, I think he's shooting 38% from the field.
Yeah.
Lance Stevenson and Rondo and Beasley were all 1 year, and the reason I wasn't seeing them more, but all those guys were all 1 year deals for a reason. Like, but I'm saying that's a head scratcher. Where's the rim protection at, Brandon? Where is, I know McGee is a
JaVale.
Good player. Yeah, but he, I mean, it's no shame.
Tyson Chandler?
But he's 100 years old. Okay. He's 100 years old in basketball years. So where is the special, you know, player or players to make up for, you know, okay, LeBron can average a triple-double. He can.
There's one that's a free agent right now.
Yeah. Who's that?
There's two of them that are free agents right now that could maybe be that lift for them. One would come off the bench. The other one would be pissed if he had to come off the bench. The first one that would come off the bench is Ray Allen. The kid can still shoot. We saw it at the All-Star game. That's the type of thing I could see him playing for the Lakers to help LeBron as another shooter, veteran leadership. I'm going to say watch for Ray Allen next year on the Lakers. I know it's a stretch, but think about
it.
It's possible. The veteran leadership, shooter, coming in with that second unit, he's not going to play the Ray Allen minutes that we're used to him playing, but you don't need that.
Obviously, Ray Allen is the assistant coach if I see him playing.
Yeah, veteran minimum as well. The second one, they just reported today, they are on hold. They're pausing on talks with Carmelo Anthony because they're waiting to see what happens with the Lakers' playoff push. If they start making it towards the playoffs and they're making that run to it, then they probably will sign Carmelo Anthony for the playoff run, which will be nuts. To see how even he's able to do it.
That'd be nuts, man. But that's pie in the sky, Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah. And I do got some breaking news. Breaking news, Crossroads Sports Edition. Source is The Ringer. And we just talked about this cat a little bit ago. Kyrie Irving detached from the Celtics. Kyrie Irving has been disengaged with the team since the Knicks free agency rumors have ramped up. He has not been associating with the team. He has been going on his own when they've been out in the city and when they after practices and such. So Kyrie already distanced himself, and it's shown in these games, and we've talked about it.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate that it didn't work out there. I got him possibly going to the Knicks. I got him possibly going to the Lakers. I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah. It says sources around the team have told me, this is the Ringer's Kevin O'Connor. Sources around the team have told me that Kyrie Irving's persona has changed, too. He's become disengaged and detached from those around the team. There's talk that Irving's friendships on the team start and end with Tatum, whom he shares an agent with. The two sources peg Irving's change in demeanor early February, around the time he was asked about the possibility of joining the New York Knicks next season. According to O'Connor, the six-time All-Star has also grown increasingly frustrated with the intense media coverage of his future decision and the state of the team. End quote.
Yeah, everybody thinks they want the spotlight until they get the spotlight.
Yeah. You know where you can get off that spotlight? You make a cross-country flight to La La Land. And we talked about this.
Go to the Lakers, bro. That's what I would do. Go to the Lakers. It's okay. It's okay.
JB is giving him the approval. Go to the Lakers.
I wouldn't think no less of him if he wanted to go back. If you know what? If Michael Jordan had come back in the league in prime time shape, well, he did come back. But by that time, Scottie Pippen were at love. But, man, Scottie Pippen would have ran back. They would have ran back to be together. I guarantee you. It's okay. It's okay to be the second. Kyrie Irving's still a young man. It's okay to be the, you know. It's okay.
Okay.
Go back. Go to LA. Okay. I want to see it.
Speaking of the Lakers, they play tonight. Battle of Los Angeles. They play the Clippers tonight. John, will you be watching number one?
I'll keep an eye on it. They don't have a good winning record against the Clippers at all.
Yeah.
They don't.
And also, it's been reported that expected the Lakers will fire Luke Walton at season's end, which I think we all knew that. And interesting, the front runners, which are two guys I did not think would be a front runner for the position, my two would be Phil Jackson and Brian Shaw. Those are my two picks. But word around the league is that Jason Kidd and Tyronn Lue are the favorites to be the new Lakers coach.
Man, I wanted to see Jason Kidd in the Lakers uniform, you know, 20 years ago, because he went to California or whatever. Jason Kidd's not necessarily built a horrible reputation as a coach. And it stops in Milwaukee and in New York. I don't know, man. Those are the guys. Obviously, LeBron would approve of. Tyronn Lue actually has a relationship as a former Laker as well, and he actually coached with LeBron. So that'd probably be the guy who they go with.
Yeah, I know you chuckle when I said his name.
Yeah, he knows what comes with coaching LeBron. So. It'll probably be the guy. Like I said, I can't really see Jason Kidd, honestly. Not that he's a terrible coach. It's just that, you know.
How about Frank Vogel?
I wish that would be the guy, a real manager. But then again, you would have LeBron's buy-in. LeBron believes that he knows more basketball than any coach because he's played.
And that's crazy,
too. I don't think he even respects player coaches.
Yeah.
You know, guys who used to play. So,
yeah.
Well, Tyronn Lue, you know what I'm saying? But again, that's probably who it's going to be.
Yeah. I would like to see Phil. I mean, there's only one guy that can save it, and that's the Zen Master himself. I put it on Twitter. There's only one person that can save Laker Nation.
If you can't listen to the Zen Master, then who are you going to listen to?
Yeah.
You know? Unless they trade for Popovich.
Oh. Oh, boy. All right. And then, I don't know, did you see anything about Robert Sarver and the Suns with the dysfunctional stuff? This was happening the last couple of years. They put goats in the GM's room because he said, you know what, this is a wake-up call, and I want you to go get a goat of a point guard. Well, the goat ended up defecating all over his office and on his desk, so that didn't work out. The owner has also, apparently he doesn't get along with anybody, and that's why a lot of people don't want to go to Phoenix, Phoenix has been in a rebuild, was the video I watched, a rebuild since 2012. This is 2019. This is 7 years in the rebuild right now. The owner has said he's not going to sell the team. It's just there's an article on ESPN. It's got a nice video of it. If you get a chance, check it out. But it talks about Robert Sarver, the owner of the Suns, and just the whole drama that's going on there. My last thing on NBA, if you have Netflix, there's a show I want you to watch. It's called the Carter Effect. It's about Vince Carter, and it's about the Toronto Raptors. When the Toronto Raptors were an expansion team, what Carter did for the city of Toronto, for the Raptors themselves, and then kind of Carter leaving, and then the kind of the buildup of Toronto, where they came and stuff. It was very interesting because just seeing Vince Carter back when he was young, what it did for the city of Toronto, how it grew. Yeah, it's got Drake in it, but it's got a lot of old players, Muggsy Bogues, Del Curry, Tracy McGrady's in it. It talks about the relationship between Tracy and Vince Carter and how it kind of fell through once McGrady said, see ya, and went to Orlando because he was tired of being in the spotlight. But it's 1 hour long. If you get a chance on Netflix, it's called The Carter Effect. It's a great basketball documentary for an hour.
I'd check it out. Yeah, things kind of went sour for Vince, and then he kind of – Once he left Toronto, he kind of shrugged the spotlight. He regulated. He was fine with just being a regular, you know, a secondary superstar.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we go to college basketball, we'll take a two-minute break real quick. We'll play a couple ad reads, and then we'll be back. We'll hit up college basketball, and then some quick hitters to end the evening.
They're the three most sacred words a basketball fan can utter.
I was there.
Like tonight, the biggest crowd in high school basketball history traveled from every corner of the state just to see a baller named Damon Bailey.
Now there is Damon Bailey now.
I was there.
And he is an honest-to-goodness folk hero.
When it's state tournament time here in Indiana, and they torch the nets and rain down threes from the rafters, it's so much more than a game. It's a rush. It's a thrill. It's the memory of a lifetime. But only if you're there. The IHSAA Boys Basketball Tournament. When the whistle blows, the drama unfolds, and we're reminded just how big a high school athlete's heart can be. Where will you be?
I'll be there.
The IHSAA Boys Basketball Tournament. Sectionals begin next Tuesday in Indiana high school gyms everywhere. The IHSAA Boys and Girls Basketball Tournaments are presented by the Indiana Pacers and the Indiana Fever. They're the three sweetest words a sports fan can utter.
I was there.
Like when Luke Zeller drained that miracle buzzer beater from center court to win the state championship.
I was there.
Indiana high school basketball. There's only one way to experience the passion, the intensity, the surges in momentum. The shots heard round the state, and the shots made from way, way, way downtown.
Luke Zeller at midcourt puts it up at the buzzer.
And that's to be there, live. The IHSAA Boys Basketball Tournament. When the whistle blows, the drama unfolds, and we're reminded one more time what a great state we live in. Where will you be?
I'll be there.
We'll all be there.
The IHSAA Boys Basketball Tournament. Sectionals begin next Tuesday in Indiana high school gyms everywhere. The IHSAA Boys and Girls Basketball Tournaments are presented by the Indiana Pacers and the Indiana Fever.
All right, John, we are back. The IHSAA Tournament there. Yes, sectionals have already started. We're in regionals. But what a great time for high school basketball. John, me and you took in a game this past weekend. We went over to the Lawrence North Sectional and saw two games. We saw some talented athletes as well. Your Very thoughts helpful. Over those two games?
I totally forgot how exciting and drama-filled high school basketball could be. A lot of times when I watch NBA, it's like guys that are not giving their all. They're kind of dialing it in. And that's the exact opposite. With high school basketball, everybody dialed in. The crowd's into it. The crowd's chanting different things. And like I said, we watched two great games. I thought, even though the first one was a blowout, you know what I mean. But we watched two great games where We saw, you know, some guys who have the ability to go play Division I. I don't know if they're going to be stars on the next level or not, but they have the ability to go Division I basketball to Division I school programs and whatnot. And I must say, like I said, even though the Warren Central Lawrence North game at halftime was like 13-7, that was the halftime score. It still turned out to be a very, I mean, and then like the, what was the end of the score? Like, but then the final score was like 27-25. Whoever gets 30 is going to win this game. But whoever gets 30 first, it was just intense. And every possession, you just kind of wild. Even like I said, even though it wasn't a high scoring game, because like you alluded to, you said Warren Central was averaging like 60 points a contest, and like Lawrence North put up a zone that you thought Jim Boeheim had drew up or something like that, right?
Uh-huh.
But it was real intense basketball, real intense atmosphere, and like, dude, you can't. I mean, I know, you know, other cities, New York says that they're the mecca of basketball when it comes to basketball, but I had to say it's Indiana for sure.
Absolutely. It was 21-11 at the end of the third quarter, Warren Central down by 10. And actually even 2 minutes into the game, there were 6 minutes to go and it was still 21-11. And then we said they need to start pressuring the ball, and Lawrence North started throwing the ball over the gym. Warren Central started getting free throws. David Bell, who's going to Purdue, was their main setup guy. They hit a big three, and then the pressure just got to Lawrence North. Yeah, Lawrence Central lost in the championship to Lawrence Central. Lawrence Central's got some stud players. They've got, and we talked, mm-hmm. John, they got a gentleman that's committed right now as a junior to Nebraska, which is shocking that he's not staying in the state of Indiana. And then the other guy that's going to Southern Illinois Ebersville, and he had 30 points, 32 points.
Yeah, I don't know how – I can kind of see how, you know, IU and Purdue kind of overlooked certain guys, but I don't know how the Indiana State or the world, the Ball State – and they might have recruited him, maybe he didn't, but, like, the facilities at Indiana State and Ball State are definitely better than Southern Illinois, Eastern, or wherever the hell the name of the school is. But
yeah.
It's Ball. I don't know. And that kid put up – they set him down. He could have got 40. They set him down before he could get 40. You know, but in Nebraska, it's a football school. So, again, I don't know how guys are leaving the state or how or why guys are leaving the state of Indiana to go play in basketball obscurity.
Yeah, absolutely. Regionals are this weekend for the IHSAA. They continue. Some of the local teams around the Indianapolis area, Carmel is heading to Logansport for the 4A regional game. Zionsville will also be at the Logan Sport Regional. They'll be taking on Huntington North. One of them that I'm probably going to check out Saturday night, that I'm going to go to, is the 4A in Southport on the south side. Avon versus New Pal at 10 a.m. on Saturday. And then after that is Lawrence Central and Ben Davis. And then the championship game is Saturday night, that same Saturday night, about 8 o'clock or so, or 7 o'clock, one of the two times. But I'll probably check out one of those. Or I may be heading to the 3A. Special shout out to Christmas Addicts. Did end up winning their sectional. So Chris Hawkins, head coach, friend of yours. They move on. They do play Owen Valley, 14-12 in the 3A regional at Greencastle. They would play the winner if they win against Beech Grove and Greencastle, which both of those two teams are good, 17-7 and 21-4. That's another one. I'm not sure where Greencastle is at, but if they play in the championship game, I wouldn't mind even going driving down there to see the regional championship with Christmas Addicts in there. So, but shout out to them, those boys going to the regional. Good luck to them. Hope to see them advancing to semi-state.
Yeah, nothing like ISHA high school basketball. And a $6 ticket, man, you get your money worth.
Yeah, and the people watching is great, too. Some of the crazies.
Absolutely.
So, all right. Thank you, IHSAA. It's a great time to get out and support your teams, as we said last week. Looking in college basketball world right now, we've got the Purdue Boilermakers. We'll start with the top. Purdue Boilermakers, solo lead right now in the Big Ten. one game lead up on Michigan State, also a lead on Michigan. Purdue's got two games left at Minnesota, at Northwestern. If they win one, they get a share of the Big Ten title. You win both, you're the outright Big Ten champions. Hell of a year. Wasn't expected for Purdue.
I think they're more – I'm not saying they're overlooking – definitely not. Minnesota's the primary because that's the win. And I think they're going to handle business against Minnesota. And then I'm not saying Northwestern's going to be a cakewalk, but Brandon, Northwestern's going to be a cakewalk. Northwestern defends, but they can't score. So this would be unprecedented, like to where nobody saw Purdue win the Big Ten, either in a shared, you know what I'm saying, situation or outright. Nobody called this. If you did, you must have been you must be living in West Lafayette and you're a homer, right? But nobody nobody could see this coming. And, you know, Matt Painter, we're going to have to start considering him one of the top coaches in college. I think he gets the Big Ten Player Coach of the Year.
Yeah, absolutely. He's definitely one of those under-the-radar coaches. And, yeah, I see people on Twitter all the time. They're saying, well, Matt Painter is overrated. He has all these great teams, and they can't do nothing. But you got to think, a couple of these teams, he's had injuries. Isaac Haas injured in the NCAA tournament, so couldn't do much. Robbie Hummel, torn ACL twice, and they had two great teams. Things just haven't fallen right for Purdue over the last years in the tournament. So, but this team, what they're doing right now is great. And as a Purdue fan, I'm excited for them. And do I think we win?
Done talent or even two or even like four-star guys. They just kind of do. I mean, they boil it up. He has buy-in. He recruits within the state. And, you know, that's what people put out of the guys from down south, that out of Bloomington, which, you know, what we'll get to in a second. But, again, you got to start considering Matt Painter. If he can get to the Final Four, fine. I'm not saying because winning the Final Four is a whole different thing, right? But getting to the Final Four, we'll start peeping his name up there with Brad Stevens of the world.
And, you know, just looking ahead, if you want to look ahead at the NCAA tournament and where they're probably going to be seated, probably a 3 seed, and that's kind of where we have them as a crossroads bracket, and a lot of the country does. I think they would have a best shot at reaching the NCAA, the Final Four. Now, this is a stretch, but I think it'd be if they faced a Virginia in the number one seed, Virginia. Because Virginia likes to – they can slow it down. They like to slow it down. Mm-hmm. That can help Purdue because they're not going to be sitting there running and gunning all the time. I think Purdue matches up with all the number one seeds. I think they would match up best with Virginia on those four. Maybe Gonzaga, but I would really think Virginia. So more to come there. Boilermakers making a nice little strong run the last week of the season. And then we've got the Big Ten tournament. Let's go a little bit farther south of Purdue. We go to IU. The Hoosiers sweep Michigan State.
The shock of the hour, man.
Purdue fans were cheering for him.
Archie Miller can be thankful he's back on the bubble because they were off the bubble and out of the tournament. Now they're on the bubble and kind of, you know, people are kind of looking at them like maybe, but they got to still win against Rutgers. And in Illinois, they have to. And Brandon, they have to win. I know Fisher, voice of IU, was thinking that they had to win the Big Ten tournament. I think they got to get to at least 3 games. They got to win 3 games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 3 games in the Big Ten tournament. Otherwise, this Michigan State win. And if they can lock up these next 2 wins, it kind of just gets them back to the NIT. If they have a very short weekend in the Big Ten tournament, they will not make it to the NCAA tournament, even with the Pac-12 sucking this year. They won't make it.
Yeah, I think they need to win three out of their next. I think they need to win 3 of their next 4. Nick thinks they need to win 4 games, 2 in the regular season and 2 in the tourney. But I think if you can get 3 out of 4 total, that'll secure you in. If you get 2, that'll put you on the bubble. It'll be a little sweating time. But I think if you can get three, you're solidly into the tournament because the bubble is so small this year. So
they've got a shot.
Archie
Miller kind of shook things up with his starters, and they got some results out of them. And like I said, they got a win over the number. What was it? I think Michigan State was number four ranked when they beat them.
Yeah, six and four.
Yeah,
both times. And IU's got good wins. I mean,
They don't have a bad loss at all. They don't.
Yeah, IU. I'm going to bring up their while you're
talking.
Yeah. So their Nets are 55, net rank 55. They're 6-9 against quadrant one. They're 1-5 against quadrant two, but they're 6-0 against quadrant four. The 6-9 in quadrant one, they've got good wins against some of those good teams. The decent wins. I mean, they beat Louisville. Louisville was looking good. They had a little bit of a slip lately, but and then they beat Michigan State twice. They beat Wisconsin. I mean, you're beating the ranked teams. IU's got two games left, Illinois and Rutgers. Both of them must-win games for the Hoosiers. Cannot let these two slip.
Cannot.
Their tournament starts tomorrow.
It does.
Or whenever they play. It's tomorrow. When that's Thursday, I think.
No, Thursday.
Yeah, so their tournament starts Thursday against Illinois. Speaking of Purdue and IU both, one of the recruits with Keon Brooks Jr. is announcing his college choice on March 15th on CBS HQ. Keon Brooks is a four-star athlete out of here in Indiana. Purdue, Indiana, Michigan, and I can't think of the fourth team.
He hasn't said UCLA, which I doubt it. I don't think he's going to UCLA.
I don't think so. Not with Alford gone. But it'll be interesting. You talk about Indiana kids. Are they going to stay? Are they going to go? The majority of people I've seen so far think he's going to go to Indiana. But you also got to think, John, with Indiana, these kids are probably seeing what's going on, like losing records and such, and maybe they just that's why they don't want to stay, because they're not good. You know? But who knows? Yeah. We will see. Speaking of IU, Bob Knight is in apparently some ailing health. It's not looking too good for the Hall of Fame coach. So Bish wishes to him. Hopefully it's nothing too bad. But they did say Don Fisher, voice of the Hoosiers, did say that it's not good with Bob's health. So, it would, be definitely sad if he ended up passing away, which hopefully he doesn't.
Right.
Cause I really want him to sew up things with Indiana. They asked Don Fisher, and he said, is there a chance? He says, no chance at all. So,
carry me upside down so my kids can kick my ass. So
not with this administration.
There's probably no chance. No, not
right.
at all.
Tennessee knocked off Kentucky this weekend convincingly.
Oh,
blew them out. So Tennessee has the sights set on the SEC number one seed and regular season title right now. So we'll see what happens to that. I know LSU is up there as well, battling with them. But what are your thoughts on that game?
LSU got FBI problems. unfortunately. But Tennessee, they played their – I mean, you know, I know it's cliche. They played their game. They played an up-tempo game, and they didn't allow the length of Kentucky to bother them. And they kind of got back to playing, up and down basketball. Not necessarily running gun, but definitely just didn't let Kentucky get, set up defensively so that their length could bother them. Kudos to, Barnes. He might actually be up for National Coach of the Year if they can, run the table and win the SEC tournament. Tennessee as a one seed. I know what you're saying. You don't trust Virginia as a one seed. Tennessee is a one seed. I think they can get to at least the Sweet 16. Because still, there are the teams when they play teams with great length and great athleticism. they're kind of hard for them to match up against.
Mm-hmm. If you're the committee and you're down to that number one seed, you've got three teams to choose from: Tennessee, Kentucky, and North Carolina. Who do you go with?
Oh man, they're gonna go with North Carolina. Roy Williams is gonna whine his way. He's gonna cry his way into a number one seed, maybe.
I ain't gonna say. I was gonna say, or fake another health ailment.
No, he's not faking. He's not faking. He's getting up in age. I think they get the one seed. I did.
Yeah, North Carolina playing well right now. Nobody would have thought it for a while, but the latest net rankings: Gonzaga, Virginia, Duke, Tennessee, Kentucky, Houston, who just lost the game this past, last night, I believe. Their second loss of the year, they lost to UCF. So they've got two games left, SMU and Cincinnati themselves. Purdue sitting in the 11th spot. Shout out to Wofford. Wofford, 14th in net ranking, 23-4. Their season is over. It is conference tournament time for them. They are currently, John, on a 17-game winning streak. Wofford.
Wow.
They are 3-4 against Quad 1 teams, 4-0 against Quad 2, 3-0 against Quad 3, and then 13-0. But 3-4 against the Quad 1, that's pretty impressive.
That's pretty impressive. That could be this year's Loyola Marymount.
Could be.
I couldn't tell you where Wofford's at. I couldn't tell you. I don't know where the hell it's at.
I think it's in North Carolina. Thoughts on Kansas? 22-7 now. They're on a two-game winning streak. But it's been a struggle with some of their missing players.
I think they have a shared title this year. I think Texas is a little bit ahead. Like, Texas has another big matchup this week against Iowa State, I do believe.
Yeah, Saturday they play at Iowa State. Tonight they play Texas at 9 o'clock.
Ooh, oh, man. And all you talk about somebody being on a bubble. Shaka Smart's on a bubble, and he might be actually coaching for his job. If you believe it, Rumlin's out of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I think Texas Tech and Kansas split the Big 12.
Okay. Okay, interesting. Yeah, I did bring it up. The conference tournaments are starting. Big ones are starting next week. Some of the other ones are starting this week. A lot of good ones. The Atlantic Sun Conference tournament, theirs actually starts tonight. So some of the Atlantic Sun, we've got the Southern Conference. Mm-hmm. Theirs is starting up as well. It's a great time for college basketball with the conference tournaments and everything starting. What we will have is, once the brackets are announced for the college tournaments, myself, Nick, and John, at least for the five major conferences, and maybe we'll take we'll put Pac-12 in there. We'll keep them in there if they're considered a major conference. We'll do six conferences. We'll do our own brackets for those six mm-hmm. conferences of who we think's going to win each thing, and we'll post those as well into the Facebook page and on Twitter for everybody to see. It's a little preview before we put our actual real brackets for the NCAA tournaments later on in a couple weeks. We're vastly approaching the Crossroads Sports Selection Show Sunday special. We will go live right after the brackets are announced, which will likely be around 7 o'clock, 7:30 on Sunday, March 17th. So St. Paddy's Day, get your green beer ready. Get your brackets, your pen and paper, and listen to us for all the college basketball. That'll be a college basketball special only. So it'll be on Facebook Live, and it'll be also here on Blog Talk Radio and on the podcast. But it's going to be a strictly college basketball, nothing else that day. We also have the Crossroads Sports Bracket Challenge. So last year we had a bracket challenge on ESPN.com. Everybody joined that. It was for bragging rights last year. We actually ended up with three people tied for the win. I, for one, did not win. I had Duke winning the title. But I was close. If Michigan would have won, I would have got second place, but did not get it. But we have some of that. So to be able to find that, look on our Facebook page. We'll be tweeting out the links and also posting on Facebook. find the Crossroads Sports Bracket Challenge. The password is Crossroads. That'll get you into the bracket. And then you can sit there and yup it up with us. You can poke fun at Jonathan with some of his picks when you're killing him in the standings. You can poke fun at him. You can do it. You can yuck it back up with me. So a lot going on with college basketball, John. Great time of the year.
I love it. You mentioned last year I had Duke winning too, but my boy Grayson couldn't hit that layup.
Yes, I just watched that replay. But oh, you keep reminding me, and it's time. But I mean, who doesn't love this? This song? Oh. John, does that not get you pumped?
Yeah, but One Kind of Moment is the best song, basketball song ever.
But we're going to have a lot of coverage for everybody. We're going to have our own picks. We're going to have Crossroads guru Nick Peterson with us. We're going to go through the brackets, give you our picks so you can win your tournament pools. We're going to have our own tournament pools, so definitely looking forward to that. And then that Sunday night, we're going to listen to Charles Barkley think he knows what the hell he's talking about with college basketball. Him and Kenny Smith, that's usually funny because they think they know what's going on. So a lot to come with that. I've got some final quick hitters this evening, John. Number one, Bryce Harper, 13-year, $330 million deal with the Phillies. No trade clause, no opt-out clause. The guy is making, through the calculations, $67,000. Per hour.
Per hour.
Per hour of playing baseball.
Man, making $300 million, man. He'll be able to buy his own NBA franchise once he's done playing baseball.
And you would think when they interview you, you would say you want to bring a title back home to Philly. Because when he interviewed him, he said he was excited to hopes to bring a title back to D.C. So there's a little faux pas. Whoops.
Yeah, I caught that too. And I think they still got another move to be made.
You think?
Yeah.
I don't know how they're gonna make it. They ain't got no money.
Baseball guys, they'll find some money. There's another trade. There's another move to be made. But yeah.
Okay. And then what else do I have? Well, the only other quick hitter I had, which we talked a little bit of entertainment earlier to start the show, Walking Dead. You caught up on last night's?
I caught up on last night's Walking Dead. Alpha is a cold-blooded killer. Cold-blooded. he's cold. Unless I walked out of the room. There was no Negan sighting last night either.
He was there. There was a sighting. Him and Michonne were talking because she was asking why he thought she couldn't leave, and he's like, "Well, because." And he's pretty much saying that we should team up and forgive me. And she's like, "No, you've killed all my friends." So we'll see what kind of route that takes. But yeah, Alpha, cold-blooded. We'll see. We need Rick back. Rick will take care of them all. And the other thing, WWE. Now, I know you can be tuned in tonight. We're on the road to WrestleMania. We didn't get to talk about it last week, but yes, you will. Batista coming back?
That's because he ain't got nothing going on right now. Well, he will have. I don't know how. I don't know how it's going to work out. WrestleMania is coming, so he's going to have to start doing a whole lot of work once Avengers Endgame comes out next month.
Paychecks. Paychecks, baby.
Yeah, big paychecks floating everywhere.
Absolutely.
No.
I was saying, with him and Hunter going to start themselves a little thing. We've got Becky Lynch thing with Ronda Rousey going off on Twitter over the weekend. That was great to see. By the way, is that not one of the greatest Ric Flair promos of all time when he's taking off the suits, the shorts, the shirt, chucking it?
He told Yeah, he told Eric Bischoff, if you go, if you cut the commercial, I might be out in seconds. You know, Ric Flair is one of the is probably the only wrestler that they actually lived his gimmick. And, like, you know, he's out there tearing up money. He's out there, you know what I'm saying, taking his pants off. He's out there talking trash. He's out there telling information about, you know what I'm saying, what he did before he got here, before he got to the wrestling ring. So, yeah, that's probably one of his better promos ever.
And you make a, good point about if they did a Ric Flair movie, who would play him? And
yeah,
you said The Miz.
Yeah, I try to think of an actor. But, yeah, I think The Miz, if they put a blonde wig or whatever, you know what I'm saying, on Miz, I think Miz can pull it off.
What about Matthew McConaughey?
He's too old.
Ooh, well, Flair's old.
Well, this would be, wouldn't this be?
Flair never looked like he was in his 20s and 30s ever. He never looked it. He always looked like he was in his 40s and 50s.
You're right, but this would be. Matthew McConaughey is like a vegetarian now. I don't think he's into like bulking up for roles and whatnot. So I can see Matthew McConaughey playing like a promoter, one of the Crockett's maybe, but or maybe an announcer maybe, but not not a wrestler.
Gotcha. Okay. What was I going to say? We talked about the Flair. Hall of Fame. They announced Tori Wilson maybe Hall of Fame. I don't think she was worthy of it right now. I think there's a lot of other people that can go in.
They got Honky Tonk Man going to Hall of Fame, and I'm like, man, Honky Tonk. He was a good heel.
The greatest Intercontinental champion ever.
Absolutely not.
That's what his gimmick was.
That's what he held it the longest. He did have the longest. He actually beat Ricky Steamboat. They jobbed Ricky Steamboat. Poor Ricky Steamboat out. To the Honky Tonk Man, he kept for a long time, and Honky Tonk Man is actually instrumental in helping the Mega Powers form. Honky Tonk, I mean, you can go back look it up on WWE Network, or you can go look it up on YouTube. It was when Jimmy Hart was managing Honky Tonk Man and the Hart Foundation simultaneously, and they kind of held Macho Man Randy Savage. You know what I'm saying? It was a match between. Originally between Randy Savage and Honky Tonk Man. They, of course, broke out into a pier sixer, right? And as they all were double-teaming them, Miss Elizabeth runs back to the back, and who does she go to get? Hulk Hogan. And then, you know, the Mega Powers form, and that you have, you know, Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage relationship, you know what I'm saying? It's the Mega Power explosion, all that. But, no, the greatest Intercontinental champion, it's not the Honky Tonk Man. And I don't know. I guess technically he should be a Hall of Famer, but nah, I guess. You know, it ain't going to move no beer for me, bro.
Yeah, absolutely. Latest rumor I saw was a lot of the wrestlers in the back think that Dean Ambrose will not leave WWE now that he will re-sign since Roman Reigns is back. So, more to say on that. And I'm glad to see Roman back, by the way. So, I know we didn't get to talk about it much last episode, so.
Right.
It'll be interesting to see what they do with him. You know what? Actually, John, I watched the show last night. It was about 30 minutes long, but it was The Undertaker. But he was talking at a church, and he was a special guest at a church, and just talking about his road up and down his life and his faith and all this stuff. Like, it was interesting to see. It was from 2 weeks ago. It was interesting to see that side of The Undertaker.
Okay.
It kind of about the business. About his health, about his wife, Michelle McCool, about his faith, how he didn't have religion, and then how he found God and how it helped change his life around, and just some of the stories that he had. It was pretty cool. If you can find it on YouTube, just look Undertaker Church thing, and it'll pop up on there. So it was really good, about 40 minutes long.
I'll check it out.
So any last things, my friend, before we go?
Man. Yes, for all you comic book Marvel heads out there, Captain Marvel drops Thursday night. It's going to be lead right into. I'm all over the spoilers already, but so I won't share up here. But this will lead into Endgame, Avengers Endgame, which comes out next month. But Captain Marvel should be a wonderful, fantastic movie. I implore everybody to go watch it. Yep,
absolutely. I actually went to a movie this weekend. I went and saw the wrestling with my family. Me and the girlfriend went and saw about Paige. It was, I thought it was great. Lindsay, who is not into wrestling, doesn't know any of the backstories, doesn't know all that. She really, really liked the movie. So, and I think that show says something for somebody that doesn't like wrestling, doesn't know wrestling. She liked it and she was intrigued. So then I had to show her all the stuff afterwards, you know, this is what she did. This is how it really happened. With the AJ Lee situation. So, but I thought they did a really, really good job with that movie. WWE Studios always puts on a good show, with all their movies. I thought it was really, really good. So shout out to that. Monday Night Raw is starting now. Any final things before we go?
That's all I got, man. You know, I appreciate everybody listening and supporting.
Absolutely. We'll see you guys again, possibly next Monday. I'm off next Monday, so we'll see if we can get it to work again next Monday. We may go to two shows here soon, and then kill off during the summer when it slows down. But more to come on that. Be sure to check out Crossroads Sports Facebook page and make sure you follow us on Twitter. Till then, we'll see you guys next week.
All right.
Crossroads Sports.